Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we will be asking, what does Easter mean to you? What do Easter eggs, chocolate rabbits, and a bunny have to do with Jesus Christ? Do you see Jesus in an egg or in a chocolate bunny? These are some of the things that have replaced Jesus. Easter got his name in Acts 12:4. And it says, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. Oh, I'm going back up to 1. It says, now about that time, which means it's a certain time, that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, then there were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, the question that I have to my listeners is, Herod was not a believer. He was not a Christian. Why is he observing Easter? Maybe somebody can call in and tell me what's going on. Why would he wait until after Easter to bring Peter to the people? Why would he celebrate Easter? Remember, he was the same king that had all the young males killed in order to kill Jesus as a child before he could grow up and be king. So if Easter has to do with the resurrection of Jesus, why would Herod be celebrating it? This is my question to you guys. So tell me, when we come back from break, what does Easter mean to you?
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. 1 in 3 women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband, and in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org. for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show, and we're talking about what does Easter mean to you tonight. So I would like for my listeners to call in. Let me know. All you have to do is press the 1, and you'll be streaming live on the air with me, and we can talk about it. I read somewhere that we were talking, I was reading about Lent, and I guess a lot of times we do things, we say things, we have no idea what we're doing or what we're saying. We're talking about Easter, and I read that, I know we all know about Nimrod and the they were building the Tower of Babel, but he had a wife who, well, he died, and she said he wasn't dead, but he was cut up into little pieces and everything. But she said, oh, no, he's not dead. And then she got pregnant. And then she had died. And she said that they sent her back as the goddess of fertility. And she had a young boy, and she named him Tammuz. And he was killed by a boar. And the people had 40 days of weeping. And then after the 40 days, they were denying themselves because they wanted him to be happy in his afterlife. But after 40 days, they killed the boar. And then they ate the ham on Easter. So we call those 40 days what? And I know everybody knows, we call those 40 days Lent. People are celebrating Lent. They're sacrificing ice cream, meat, sugar, whatever. Why? I want someone to call in and tell me, why do they practice Lent? I mean, what's the reason for it? God never did it. I want to know. I know that there is someone out there who can explain to me why they take 40 days and not eat whatever. If I were going to do Lent, I probably would say I'm not going to eat any ice cream. But knowing me, it's not going to work. I might not eat it for one night, but I'm certainly not going to stop eating ice cream for 40 days. Why do people celebrate Lent? People do a lot of things, and they don't know why. And that's why Christ said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We just go along with whatever. We'll have a minister that says, oh, okay, I want all my congregation to, we're going to celebrate Lent, so we're not going to eat this, that, or the other. I bet that there is not one congregant in that congregation that would dare ask the pastor, oh, well, pastor, why are we doing this? What is the purpose? Some of us need to be bold enough to ask these ministers, you know, because it might be that they don't even know themselves. It may be something that they grew up on. Who knows? When they were doing all of this weeping and all of that, they were sacrificing babies. Sacrificing babies. And the priests would, the priest of Easter would impregnate the virgins and, you know, they would have all these things going on. They would have a sunrise service. And the Canaanites, after Nimrod's wife got pregnant, or they were impregnating the virgins, then they sacrificed these 3-month-old babies. And they dyed the eggs of Easter in the sacrificed blood of the babies, so that maybe where colored eggs come from. You know, we do too much stuff without even knowing why we're doing it. And you cannot tell me that someone listening has not done it. Even me, I have considered, oh, okay, well, you know, I think I'm going to celebrate Lent this year. Not knowing why, just because, you know, some people do it. And maybe I want to follow the crowd. That's crazy. Because I don't know why anybody would celebrate Lent. Nobody ever told me. Nobody ever told me. But I've never seen Jesus Christ's image in a chocolate bunny. Anyway, somebody out there comment, do you disagree with me? Can you tell me why you celebrate Lent? I think that eggs and bunnies and chocolate have all taken the place of Christ. And talking about things that we don't understand, well, I'll just talk about the things that I don't understand, because we celebrate a lot of different people as well. One of the persons was that is still being celebrated today is Muhammad. Now, I know a lot of Muslims go to the prisons, and that's why they get a lot of these black men and maybe other ethnicities, I'm not sure, but I know they get a lot of black prisoners to convert to their form of religion. And I noticed that there are a whole lot of black men stand on the corner in 90-degree weather with a suit and a bow tie on trying to sell these pies, these bean pies. Well, I've never purchased one. I don't think I'd like it. Now, I love beans, but a bean pie doesn't excite me. So, listeners, press the 1. I'm talking, you're listening. I need to know what you guys think. What do you think? We have Muhammad, and people follow him religiously. I mean, I don't know what Muhammad did. Maybe someone out there can tell me. We also have Confucius. We have Buddha. You know, what did these people do? Why do you follow them? I need someone to call in and let me know. And then we talk about Christmas. And it's already been established that Christ was not born on December 25th. That was not his birthday. We don't know when Christ was born. He didn't tell us. So I guess if he didn't let us know, we didn't need to know. Okay, I have a listener who wants to make a comment. Okay, I think that's someone I know. Hello.
Hello, Jenny White. How you doing?
I'm fine, son. How are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. This is your son.
I know you must. Come on now.
Okay, all right. Just checking. Just calling in to make a comment about
okay.
The religious holidays, Easter, and talk about the religions, you know, Muslim religions and other religions. And those are some things that are very intriguing, and I'm still studying, you know, as we speak, you know, in regards to there were numerous religions and gods that were celebrated before Christianity came into place and, you know, had God and Jesus as the Messiah. So, you know, I often wonder, you know, were those other cultures wrong and those other people, did they go to hell because they died and practiced other religions before Christianity was even, you know, on earth? I mean, you know, Christianity is just about 2,000 years old. But the planet.
But remember, remember what Christ did when he died on the cross. Remember, he went down in hell and he preached to those people down there. So they had an opportunity to be saved still. He made sure he was not just going to let people, you know, die in their sin and not have an opportunity.
Oh, okay. I guess I hadn't got back to that far in the Bible yet. I didn't read that chapter. But, you know, I just you know, wonder. And as far as Easter, you know, there are a lot of different things that people say, you know, regarding holidays and the fact that Christ wasn't born on December 25th. They also say that Easter was named after Ishtar, which is the goddess of the Assyrian and Babylonian goddess of fertility and sex. And so, you know, it's said that, you know, Easter is named after her, which is, would make it a pagan holiday. But, you know, whether or not that's true or not, you know, stands to reason. But it's, you know, it's a, and I always wanted to have a ecumenical meeting of pastors of different faiths and pose these questions to them.
Questions.
To see how many different answers we get in regards to the questions of religion that we have. You know, I'd really be curious.
I bet that would be some kind of conference.
I'm sure it would.
Different people getting together. But if you will notice, not any of the other religions have ever had a leader that said he would be crucified and on the third day he would rise. None of them had a leader that said that. Jesus Christ was the only person.
That's exclusive to Christianity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's also said that Christianity was you know, given to the slaves and others around the world, you know, but slaves in general, to control them more, you know. And you also see how we have embraced our religion throughout the years. And
a lot of things we do that we don't know why we do them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of, you know, there have been traditions that have been passed down.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's true. We don't know why we do them. You know, that's just like Jesus has been portrayed as being white, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes on a lot of pictures that you would find in the homes next to Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy.
You know, I don't think Jesus with blonde hair, blue eyes is right next to Martin Luther King. That's just my opinion. But that's, you know, people, you know, they have to have something to see. And I think that may have been one of the reasons why they had all these idol gods, was because they could see them. You know, you can't see Christ, and you have to go on your faith. Now, if Christ died and didn't come back, then that's another thing. That means our faith is for nothing. That means we have no Savior, and without no Savior, there's no meaning or no or any purpose to our lives.
Now, let me ask you, what do you think about Jehovah's Witnesses? You have an opinion about their religion?
Jehovah's Witnesses, yes, they go and knock on your doors, you know, and they push the strollers, and, you know, it's, they walk the streets. They hang out in the gas stations. But they do that because they have been told they have to work to get into heaven. These are that's their pathway to heaven. They got to work. Christ died for us to have salvation. It's a free gift. It is F-R-E-E. There is nothing we can do. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to make ourselves go to heaven. Not a thing. But believe on Jesus Christ. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe it.
Ooh. Ooh, Jenny White's preaching today on Friday. That's right. All right, Jenny White.
I'm just telling you what I believe. I have been a believer all my life. I praise God for that, because I had to go to church every Sunday. And I don't care how many services you had, we had to stay. So, of course, when I got grown, the first thing I said was, I'm not going to church no more. And I think I stayed out for maybe about a month. And then the day, that Sunday drug on and on and on. And I said, let me get my behind back in church. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, from my understanding, that there will only be 144,000
Yeah, everybody got that. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, and they said that 144,000 has already been, you know, they're already there. So what does that mean for us?
Well,
if Christ
is
only
going to
take 144,000.
Well, they've, you know, they've really been in the news lately because of shunning. Are you familiar with shunning and how they practice it?
No, what is that?
Well, there was a lady in Keego Harbor, which is probably 20 minutes away, you know, from
But she killed her husband and the kids.
Yeah, she killed her husband and the kids because she used to be a Jehovah's Witness. Now, evidently she had mental illness, but once, you know, they didn't believe that, you know, you should send your kids to college. And so she, you know, wanted her kids to go to college. So she stepped away from the religion. But when, you know, she did that, her parents stopped communicating with her. And so did the other people that were in her support network and group and fellowship with her. And so that went on.
So then,
you know,
that's like a gang, then. You can't you get in, you can't get out.
Well, no, they can kick you out. I mean, they can, you know, they can get together and denounce your membership, you know, until you get yourself together, and then you have to petition to get back in. But, you know, there were several stories, and evidently it's a Facebook group of people that have been kicked out of the Jehovah Witnesses that share their stories, you know, because I guess a lot of times people feel alone if, you know, they don't know that others are suffering the things that they're going through. And,
right.
And
right.
One, there was a story about a father who, you know, was in the religion, and the daughter was telling the story, this particular story, and how when her father got kicked out of the religion, she was told not to communicate with him. And so she said that went on for about 3 or 4 years, you know, until she, you know, started pulling away from the religion and started reaching out to her dad. And then there were other stories. There was a story of a father whose daughter had been in it, and she had gotten out of the religion, and she ended up committing suicide. You know, they were just talking about, you know, how when people aren't in the religion, the other people are told not to communicate with them, even if they're your family or your parents or your children. You know, you're told not to communicate with them, and so the shunning begins. And
they don't celebrate birthdays. I had a student that was a Jehovah's Witness, and they didn't celebrate birthdays or Christmas or any, you know, things like that. But I heard a minister say one time, we tell our kids, we go tell them to go to the door when the people knock on the door and say, we're not home or whatever. He said, everybody run from the Jehovah's Witnesses like they owe them money. And I thought that was really interesting. So I said, well, I'm not going to run anymore. And I opened the door. And I talked, as a matter of fact, I was going to have one to speak on my radio program, but she never got back with me because I actually wanted her to explain why is she walking the streets. You don't have to do that. You do not have to do that.
Well, you have to evangelize. I mean, you got to go to the people. And so, you know, if the people not coming to you, you got to go to the people.
Yeah, but they coming to Jehovah's Witnesses coming to you. And you know what?
Nah.
If you start talking about Jesus, they don't have time.
Now, you never knock on their doors in the name of the Lord?
No, I have not knocked on a Jehovah's Witnesses door. Not to my knowledge.
I'm talking about have you at your church ever got together and say, you know, we're going out to evangelize and invite people to our church?
Oh,
today.
Yes.
Okay. That's the same thing they do.
But we're not doing it. We're not doing it because we think we're buying our way into heaven. That's not why we're doing it.
Is that why they do it? They buying their way into heaven?
Well, they think they have to work to get there.
Work how? Work in the church?
Work by knocking. No. They're working out their salvation by walking and knocking on people's doors and trying to convert them.
That's how
they get to heaven. Yes, that's what they think. But they're going to be badly mistaken.
That's interesting.
I read somewhere that it takes seven times to talk to someone about Christ before they will actually, you know, agree to Christianity. That's what something I read, but I don't believe that because Christ said, you know, if some people don't want to hear what you got to say, you wipe the dust off your feet and keep it moving. And he didn't say nothing about seven times. So I see I have another caller who wants to chime in, and I think I know this one as well. Miss Terry from Texas. What'd you say, Maze? What?
I said you can't know everybody.
Oh, but I do.
Okay. You have some faithful listeners. All right.
I even have Mr. Robert on the phone from Georgia.
Uh-oh. Mr. Robert, how you doing?
Okay, Terry.
No, I was listening to your show, and hello, Maceo, and hello, Jenny.
And
hey, Terry.
I am great. I understand what you're saying as far as they believe that they need to work in order for their salvation. But I just wanted to bring up another point is our main purpose here on earth, besides glorifying God, is to be disciples.
That's true.
So with that said, we can't sit idle. We have to spread the good news. We have to share the good news. And I'm not a proponent of Jehovah's Witnesses. I actually don't really know their ideology. But I do know that faith without works is dead.
That's true.
So you have to allow yourself to be used by the Father in his service. And if his service is getting disciples, then we must be about the work. We as Christians, and I will say that because I do belong to the Christian faith. I grew up Baptist. I dabbled with Methodist. I just love Jesus. So basically, that's what I claim. But we don't spend a lot of time outside of our clique or outside of our church, our community, going out. We say, some of us, that we're missionaries and we extend. And some do, but I think more often than not, we get comfortable with the people that we meet daily because we know them. And it also speaks against that in the Bible by saying, you know, if we do for people who can do for us, then what is the benefit we need to do for others that can't, that we probably wouldn't get something back from? So
right.
As far as being faithful and walking the walk and talking the talk, I think that they are ahead of the game in that they are more proponents for discipleship or making disciples. Again,
well, you know what? I'd like to just say that we're also our behaviors preach loudly too. So if we claim to be Christians, you know people are looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking at us. They are watching us. And the very least thing you do, because you can go to church every Sunday and then you come home and cuss out your neighbors. So, but I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's not a missionary. The United States used to be the largest country that sent missionaries out to foreign countries. But guess what? That was a long time ago, and now foreign countries are sending missionaries to the United States. What does that say about us?
Well, you know, the United States, it's always been a method to the United States madness. I mean, you know, they've done so many wrong, immoral, and unethical things in the name of Jesus. You know, it's a shame. You know, from the Indians to slavery to Japanese internment camps, and you know, just taking people's lands and hanging black people. And so, you know, America's missions to all over the world, you know, may have had an ulterior motive in their operations. I was reading an article, you know, in regards to the Ebola outbreak and how it, you know, it only happened in
you know, in Africa and you know, how UNICEF and other organizations was vaccinating women, black women over in Africa and Philippines and a couple other places where it's brown people in the name of eradicating tetanus. But it was found that the vaccine had, medicine in it that was making them sterile. So, you know, not getting off the subject, but just, you know, talking about the United States and its mission to save the world.
Well, you know what? That's one of the reasons why I do not take those free shots that the government offers people, like pneumonia and whatever else. No. If it's free from the government, I'm not a guinea pig.
You don't get the flu shot every year?
No, sir. No, I do not.
Oh, okay. How about
and
you,
I.
Sherry from Texas.
Oh,
you still there?
I get it.
You get it? Okay. I do.
Do you get it, Maze?
No, I don't get it. I don't volunteer to get injected with H1N1 or any other live viruses, polio or anything else. I got my vaccinations when I was a kid when I didn't have a choice.
Yes, you did.
So as an adult, I choose not to have those things injected into my body.
Well,
now, if it's needed to save my life, then maybe at that point I'll change my mind. But as long as I'm considered halfway healthy, I'll take my chances with the flu and, you know, and everything else. And, I mean, I know a lot of people get the flu shot and mess around, turn around, and get sick anyway.
And get the flu. Well, they're giving you the, when they give you the injection, they're giving you a part of it because your body is supposed to create all these antibodies, you know, so that you will, if you actually get it, they know how to fight it, your red blood cells. Anyway, we have allowed the Easter Bunny and the eggs to overshadow the cross. So Easter, when I read, said it has to be on a Sunday and it has to have a full moon. And it will fall between March 22nd and April 25th. Now, this is really interesting to me because as far as my knowledge goes, I don't recall where Easter was ever on April Fool's Day, which it will be on April 1st this year. I don't particularly care about that being like that because you have people already don't believe of the resurrection. They don't really, you know, believe that. And you put it on April Fool's Day. Was that funny?
Well, you say you put it on like we did it on purpose.
Well, no, I don't know who does what. But like I said, you know, in my years, I don't ever think I have ever noticed it being on there before. Has anyone noticed it?
Well, last year Easter was what, third week of April? Wasn't it that far in April last year?
I don't recall, but I knew it wasn't on the first on April Fool's.
No, it wasn't on the first.
So
I'm gonna have to check.
I have to check to see if it's a full moon. I guess I have to ask Alexa if it's a full moon Sunday, but. That was it's supposed to be calculated by the phases of the moon.
Yeah. Last year April was on Easter was on April 16th, the third Sunday in the month.
Yeah, well, it goes back and forth. Sometimes it's in March.
Oh, yeah.
It has
been.
It was in March.
Yeah, it has been. So, who knows?
Well, next year Easter is going to be April 21st.
What? Well, you know, remember what I said. It has to be any time between March 22nd and April 25th. So I'm guessing that somewhere in there is the full moon. I don't know. And I don't know who started this thing about Christmas, and you can no longer say Merry Christmas. You got to say Happy Holidays. What is that?
Well, I guess that's being politically correct for those that are trying to be politically correct that don't necessarily believe in Christ. That's why they took prayer out of schools.
One lady who ended up dead, but they took the prayer out of schools, and you see what's going on now. They putting the guns in. So.
Oh yeah, well, guns been in schools for a long time.
Yeah, but that's a whole nother attitude you got to have if you got a gun. I got a gun. And Johnny is back in the back acting a fool.
What you gonna do? You gonna bust the cabins on?
There will be no.
I mean,
it's already a lot of teachers are scared of students anyway. You know, they've got a lot of white.
That's what I'm saying. Did you see that man that shot up in the air, and the bullet hit the student? Nobody ever told him that what goes up does come down.
I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. He was trying to teach them safety, and he thought he'd shoot up in the ceiling just to be sure if the gun was unloaded.
Wow.
Duh.
He was stupid.
And the student
was
down and he bleeding. Come on now.
Wow. Well, I remember when I was in the sixth grade, you know, Clarence bought a bright, shiny, stainless steel .38 to school.
Mm.
You know, that fascinated a lot of us, you know, in the back of the room.
I'm sure it did. And that's another thing. You got kids. They love to go in teachers' drawers and things.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a gun in the teacher's drawer, come on. No, please don't.
Well, the orange man thinks it's a good idea.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Orange Julius thinks it's a good idea to arm teachers.
Okay.
Number 45.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, let me take a break. And we'll be right back.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know, if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
This is Terry from Texas, and I love listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
I thought you was...
Okay. We're back, and I have another caller who'd like to say something. And caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
And how are you this evening?
How are you?
It's just fine. You know, it was interesting your talk about the Easter holiday. A lot of the holidays that we celebrate came out of the traditional Catholic setting, universal setting, like Lent. That was created by the priest and the as a time of setting aside a time from Ash Wednesday on to represent denying yourself and like taking away certain meat just on Friday, fish just on Friday, and things like that. They're traditions that the Catholic Church started. Now for Easter, a lot of the holidays and Christmas. When the Protestant Reformation took effect, Protestant people did not celebrate those holidays because they were connected with the pagan holidays going all the way back to Nimrod, who started the worship of Baal worship. And that goes back, a long time, of mother and child and sacrifice and things of that nature. And it goes back to Nimrod trying to make a one world religion and a one world government. That it started all the way back there, and we're still working on that even today. When you look at Easter, it became a holiday where, let me look at it from the viewpoint of the scriptures. Easter, it was very important, although we had the Christ, he came for one reason, to die, to pay the debt that Adam started, that brought us all into sin. That's what he came for. He came to die, to pay that debt. We don't know the whole extent of it, but that he had to come. Somebody had to pay the bill. Let's put it that way. We were not able to because of the sin nature. You remember in Genesis 3:15, when God tells Eve, he says, I'm going to use your seed to bruise the head of the serpent. And when he mentioned the serpent, he was really talking to Satan himself, who had did all of this through Eve. And that's what we're looking at. Well, it came all the way down. Every time she would have a child, I've gotten a man child from the Lord, and all the things that happened. But finally, the Savior, that through we celebrate Christmas and focusing on his birth of him getting here. And then even after that, after 30 years and 33 years of ministry, he knew he came to die. He came to, like the in the Passover, they have the lamb that was slain, where the blood was placed on the door. He came to be that sacrificial lamb that would take away the sin of the world. We have to accept it by faith. It's not by works. And that's what we're seeing. That's what the scripture talks about. Now, the resurrection is very important. He can die, but if he did not raise from the dead, all of our beliefs, our faith, we would have no one to represent. Because his blood had to be presented like it was when during the Passover to the Father.
Right.
And it had to be accepted. And that was very important. It was very important. The resurrection is very important. He had to raise from the dead. And he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth now. It wasn't that he was not God. He was God incarnate. But he had to take that step. And he had to go. That's what's so important about Easter. He had to raise from the dead and come up bodily. If they could have found a body, we would not have a Savior. We would still be hopeless. But like they say, they found a body, but they never found a body. Of all the religions and all the preaching and everything, the Buddha, Muhammad, all of that, our Savior, our God, is alive. He did what he said he would do, and he's alive. That's what's so important about the resurrection. They try to say a lot of things now about it. They try to, if you notice, Christianity has always been on attack. You don't hear them attacking the Muslims and the Confucius and all this other stuff. The other religions that people choose to worship. But they will attack Christianity. If you name the name of Jesus Christ, people are going to look. Because everybody knows the standard that Jesus Christ has. And he had to raise from the dead. Or our faith and everything would be in vain. We would have no Savior, nothing at all. Everything was based on the fact that he fulfilled the law, the promises, everything in him, like it talks about in the book of Hebrews. He fulfilled everything for us. And that's how come it's so important. It's just around this holiday time that Easter, that we call it Easter. It was pagan for a long time. But, you know, we have been taking things, the Christian faith have been taking things like Christmas and turning and giving it more of a new face as far as Christianity is concerned, and bringing it into the church. That's what we've been doing over the past couple of centuries. We give it like for Halloween. We didn't celebrate Halloween. Now they call it harvest. They have something in church for the kids, you know, things right. of that nature. We've been doing a lot of things like that. But it was important that he had to raise from the dead. And the Apostle Paul points that out. He says, our faith is in vain. Everything's in vain. Our hope is in Christ, not in our works, not in our motives, are because of what Jesus Christ did for us, that we're able to stand sinless before God, who's holy and righteous. You can't put that aside. He's holy and he's righteous. But in Christ we can stand before the Father just as if we've never sinned at all. That's what justification is. Just as if you've never sinned, never had any problem with it at all. We are, like they say, you're cancer free, we're sin free. It does not mean that we're perfect. But in Jesus Christ, this is how he sees us. And he accepts us as his own. I just wanted to put that comment out. It was very important that the resurrection is very, very important.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
And thanks for letting me share with you tonight.
Well, I thank you, Ms. Payne.
I've been listening to the conversations, and it's interesting. We have a lot. People think that they can work their way. No, you can't work your way. I know the minister was saying that the Bible can be used to say a lot of things, but that's important that we rightly divide the word of truth. You have to rightly divide
that's right.
the word of truth in order to live.
But
and,
there's nothing that you can do to be
important.
Saved.
No.
The only
but
thing you can do
Jesus
is accept
Christ. And it's humbling. It's humbling because we think that we're able to do, but we're not. It's humbling to say, Lord, I cast myself at your mercy. I accept you as my Savior. Just like a person throwing something, you're drowning, a person is throwing you something, they say, grab hold.
Yeah.
You can't save yourself. It's that type of condition that we're in. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
And I'd like to say, if someone else has a comment that they'd like to make, just press the 1 and you'll be streaming live. We have about 5 more minutes. I'll take one more commercial and then we'll come back with our final moments.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them on.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Okay, and we're back. with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We're talking about what Easter means to you, and I have a request of Miss Payne. Someone wanted to speak with you. You're on, Miss Terry from Texas.
Hello, Lucy Payne. How are you?
And how are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, I have been listening to the information that you presented, and
yes, ma'am,
it is amazing that you are so knowledgeable, and I think that's a great thing. But my question to you is, understanding that we cannot save ourselves, because that is correct, we would not need a savior if we could do that, knowing that there's nothing that we can do for our salvation, it's assured because of our belief. The only thing that would stop us from going to heaven is that we don't believe. So I get that. But we simplify it, I believe, so much so that people think that, oh, this is a cakewalk. All I have to do is just say I believe in God and I'm good. I don't have to do anything else because everybody tells me there's nothing that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So can you clarify?
Okay, what it means to believe. Go ahead.
No. I just, because I don't want to confuse anyone into thinking that once they are grafted into the faith that they're on easy street. There are things that we need to do. We need to take care of the widows and feed the hungry and help those who are less fortunate or disenfranchised. We have to be an advocate for those who cannot advocate for themselves. So there is a list. Now, granted, those works will not get us to heaven. It's our belief. But we cannot sit idle. We have to be about God's business.
What it is that's something that's very important, what you're saying. I was looking it up, and I said, Lord, what does it mean to believe? When you believe something, you act upon it. When you believe, whatever you believe, you take it by faith. You take it as your own. We go to work, and this person say they're going to pay us all this salary. We believe it. We haven't received a dime yet. But because of what they say and based on their reputation or whatever, we go to work. We start working and working and working and everything that they say, looking for. In other words, we take what they have to say. It's by faith. You believe. You take it. You make it your own until you find out differently. That's what you do. Religion is not just a head knowledge, but it becomes a life experience. That's what it is. It's not just say, well, yeah, I believe, but I see this. No. When you believe or have faith in something, you venture out and step out by faith and trust it. And you demonstrate that by your actions. You demonstrate what you believe with your actions. It's not just saying, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven and I'm thankful to God for this. No, what does it mean when you say you believe? It's a commitment. It comes down to a commitment. That I trust you, Lord, with my life. You are my Savior. I trust you with my life. If you're drowning and somebody throws you a lifeline, well, you're trusting that person with your life, because you don't want to drown. That's what it means to believe. It's a commitment. Lord, I couldn't save myself. I believe that there is something in what you're telling me. And I trust your word. I believe your word. And I'm giving you my life. I'm yielding my life to you that you can live your life through me. And you start to demonstrate that by the things that you do, by the things that you say, by how you do. And it involves your motive. What is your motive? Motives are very important to God. What's your reason for doing what you're doing? Is it to gain some brownie points so you can get to heaven? You can forget that. It is what
yes,
you believe.
True.
He says that when Jesus Christ was on that cross, he said, it is finished. When he said it was finished, it was finished. You have to put your faith and trust in his word and what he said and his promises.
Okay, can I make
promises?
A comment?
Sure you can.
Okay, I'd like to say, I don't know, maybe I misunderstood what Terry was saying, but...
Okay, maybe I did. Go ahead. Yep.
Well, I just wanted to make a comment about, people saying that, okay, I've been baptized. I gave the preacher my hand. I gave Christ my heart. and I've been baptized, and now I'm saved. And I can do what I want to because I've been told I'm sealed. Well, you are. You're sealed. And Christ said that no one can take you out of his hand. But
that's right.
What you can do, if you think you can continue to live a sinful life, what you can do is shorten your life. You will be saved. But if
yes,
you are, yeah, you can shorten your life. That's what you can do. There, Christ put each one of us, and I was talking to my Sunday school students, and I told them to think of it, think of this life as a play. And then one of my students said, well, you know, are we in Act 2018? I said, that's it. All of us who are here, 2018, have been placed here for a reason. There is an assignment that we are supposed to do. Now, what you don't want to do, you don't want to leave this earth without completing your assignment.
In other words, God has a will and a plan for each one of our lives. Yeah,
that's right.
He does.
He has the plan.
He has a will and a plan.
We're supposed to walk in that plan. But like I said, you know, if you choose to do what you want to do, even though you're saved and you're sealed and your salvation is sure, you can shorten your life. Is that
not only shorten your life, but yeah, okay, and now we're going to be judged. It talks about it in Corinthians.
Oh, absolutely.
It's called the Bema Judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge the saints. And it says your works will be, we know, by you, the way you live your life here, it's going to either be burned up or is it going to bear fruit for
right.
He talks
that's
about
right.
That. You don't have to go before the judgment seat, the white throne. Well, sinners will be judged. But we have but Christ. And they said it's going to be a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth among Christian people. Christian people. That is true. They said, well, I just want to make it in. I just want to make it in. So therefore, I'm going to live the way. But then we lose a lot of things. We are behind, as far as I can see. The Christian church is behind. Because a lot of the problems that we're facing with in this world, we're facing it because we as a church have not been responsible enough to handle things that God can work through us to show that he is God no matter what. We're
I
supposed
think
to
we're no longer
him.
Relevant. The churches
we are relevant.
Where you could go. I don't think the churches are like they used to be.
They're supposed to be that and more. More.
They are
with all the problems that happened, they should be able to turn to the church itself, the church of Jesus Christ. For answers. They're supposed to be able to do that. And we have answers because we say that Jesus Christ is the only way. He died so that and when he states that I am the only way to the Father, either he was lying or something, something is in disconnect. I mean, all
yes,
these people,
I have heard
all these
people say there's got to be
people,
another way.
No, he is the only way.
I know that. And you know that.
Okay, but therefore, but the church itself has fallen down as far as representing him the right way.
I said they're no longer
relevant. We
have
not yielded our lives, but he can work through us, through the Holy Spirit. He can work through us through the Holy Spirit. We have more things happening in the church setting than they have in the world.
Huh.
We have that. But to believe means to take it by faith and hold on to it like the tenacity of a bulldog. Yes, I believe you, Lord. You can have my life. I'm willing to stand for you because of what you did for me on the cross. And I'm trusting you in your word. And the word is, what you say is satisfying is good enough for me. And you start to live like his word is the only thing that you look at as far as everyday life. Up and down, the problems we have. Sometimes you have to be, a lot of times, Christian people don't want to be left out.
Well, we can't follow
the crowd,
that's for sure.
Okay, but we've been doing that. We're losing a lot of our young people. Once they leave the church setting and they go to college, they come back as atheists.
Well, you have a lot of professors and things. And I tell my students that you're going to have a lot of professors and teachers that don't believe in Christ. But you have to hold on.
And they're convincing in turn. Yeah, and they're turning our young people, you know, because they don't understand, because it would mean that it would cost them something. And to really to stand for the Lord, it's going to cost you something.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to cost you something.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as the people in the world, it's going to cost you something. It's not
but
that you're better
said,
than the people, but because of what you believe, it's going to
but
cost you something.
But he also said, whatever you ask for, believing, you shall receive.
That's true.
That's biblical, Matthew 21:22. So that's biblical. And you can put a pen in it, or you can put money on it, because it's surely going to come true. I thank
you,
Terry.
You love you, Terry. Did I answer your question? Terry?
Yes, yes, you did. Thank you so much, ladies.
I hope, but to believe you, yeah, I agree with that. No, it's not a head knowledge, but it's a life-changing commitment. Lord, I believe you. I cast myself on you and you alone. I have nothing, you know. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do that. Whatever, show me your will for my life.
That's
a lot of young people now are, I know this one young girl, I was one of our former pastors, son's daughter, they lost their father, okay? But she is going to the mission field before going to college. She's going to go through this experience before going to college.
Okay.
That will make her a lot of stronger when she goes into these colleges and takes these studies and things of that nature. That will make her, it will fortify what she believes. She'll see Christ in action on the mission fields and things like that. We need to be able to fortify our young people and things like that, giving them that experience behind them to see a different young person.
Yeah, because we're losing a lot of them.
We're losing that, but they don't want to. Nobody wants to stand for the Lord, because it means a lot of times you'll stand by yourself.
Right.
And you won't be popular. Maybe this guy that you like, you know, this girl that you like, they won't like you because you seem too religious, too this, too that. No, Christ is everything. He is everything. He is the Lord of your life. When you say he's Lord, that means he is controlling and running your life because of the faith, because you have invited him into your life. And he has the right to your life, just like he gave you. You can do it of your own. You know, you do it of your own free will. But to believe means to take it by faith and hold on to it and say, Lord, I believe you, and we're one, and I'm willing to stand with you. It's a commitment. It's a commitment. A lot of times you feel like, why did I make that commitment? When you know, a lot of times it's lonesome too. But you've made that commitment to him, and it's all of love.
There's nothing.
Yeah, you
else.
Have to. You, but it's out of love that you committed to him, and then you have to practice his presence in your life. Practice his presence, his daily presence. Daily, he says, "I'm with you, and I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." He promised that, and he means what he says. But you have to take that by faith. It becomes a personal relationship. It's like a personal relationship you might have with a husband. It's a personal relationship that you rely on, that you both can share in.
And that's for everything, because if your hair's falling out, Lord, you gotta let my hair grow. If your finger is
blue, tell me about it.
He wants to be, I have a personal relationship with us. Personal.
It is. And it's a healthy relationship. It's a healthy relationship.
You and me against the world. That's it. So I thank you, Ms. Payne, and I thank you, Ms. Terry.
I hope I helped. I hope I was a help.
Oh, you were.
But he has to resurrect. He had to come out the grave. He had nothing.
Yes, he did.
He had to get up out of the grave.
So, and with that, we all say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So I have, Terry, would you like to have a last minute to say or a last following word you want to leave us with?
There's a song that touches my heart every time I hear it, and the words are very simple. And it is falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. So I thank Jesus for his resurrection. I thank him for, from the beginning of time, knowing that he would need to redeem his people. I thank him that I am now included as an heir, and that my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Oh, yes.
So it's a good day. In fact, it's a very good Friday. And I mean
yes,
that literally.
It is. It is Good Friday. I forgot about that.
Thank you, Jenny White, for your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your participation. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Maceo.
Yes. Thank you for having another great show.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes. I enjoy being a guest on the show. It was a lot of very interesting points that were made today from the Christian folks on the phone line and in the audience. I didn't hear from any atheists or agnostics today.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, but
that
would
have been a conversation at a half.
Yes, yeah, definitely would have been a debate to be had. But great show, thank you very much, and
thank
everybody
you.
Enjoy their weekend and Ishtar.
Okay.
So that's my final point. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your participation. Appreciate you. And I appreciate my callers who called in, like Mr. Robert, and who listened. I appreciate you. I thank you. Call in again. And what I want to leave you with is this. If you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else. And that's from Booker T. Washington. And this is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And this is another Good Friday. And I thank all my guests, my listeners. And I'd like to say, enjoy your Easter weekend. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday morning and thank for raising himself from the dead. Good night.